Kyle Malin, editor of MERS News. Welcome, Kyle. How are you?
I'm doing great. Thanks for asking.
Good to talk to you again, man. It's been a little while, and it seems we've just come out of the primaries here. Primaries, never a huge turnout, but we're hearing that it was a pretty good turnout overall.
Well, I think in those districts where it was something contested, I think the turnout was probably a lot better. The problem is when you look at a statewide basis, there were some congressional districts, for example, which there really wasn't a competitive primary race on. And since we didn't have a contested governor's race or a U.S. Senate race, for a lot of people, there wasn't necessarily a good reason to go out to the polls, so you only got the diehards. But we had enough congressional races to keep us busy tonight, that's for sure.
It was a long night for you, of course.
I haven't gone to bed yet.
Oh no, that's insane. So
that's all right.
But again, this is a one time, you know, every so often event that you really have to keep your eye on. Frank Foster losing yesterday. State Representative Frank Foster losing to a Tea Party challenger, but most of the Michigan incumbents win.
Well, everybody else did win with the exception of Kerry Benevolio, and you mentioned Frank Foster. And I think we had unique circumstances in both cases. You know, with Frank Foster, he had a couple issues going against him. Obviously, he was a big supporter of putting gay and lesbian protections into the Elliot Larson Civil Rights Act. And the scuttlebutt here in Lansing was that he was going to sponsor legislation to do that, and possibly the House could move something this September or October. And now that he's been defeated, that's really been put in jeopardy here, because it's hard to imagine he's going to get a lot of support from Republicans for something like that after he basically got beat, presumably on that issue. But he had other issues as well, too. I don't know if he took his challenger too lightly at the beginning and maybe didn't spend enough time in the district as he could have. You know, he got targeted as being the legislator who gets wined and dined by the lobbyists more than any other. And, that kind of hurts you up north, too. So there were a couple factors there. And then, Kerry Benevolio was the only other incumbent to lose last night. And the writing was on the wall there. He has never been a very impressive campaigner. And going against somebody in David Trott, who put in $3 million of his own money, had the Oakland County Republican establishment behind him, and has been running a very professional campaign for a year. So that was kind of, the writing was on the wall. And I think a month out, Benevolio kind of saw he was a dead man walking. We stopped hearing from his campaign, and his spokesperson quit returning telephone calls. I think they all knew that it was time to fold up the tents and wave the white flag.
Kyle Malin, editor of MERS News, joins us here. How beneficial is a straight, honest, non-attacking campaign anymore? We see so many ads attacking the opponent, and not enough ads spending time focusing on the person running and the real issues.
Well, you know, Duran, I think the problem is not necessarily the attack ads. They just got to be done the right way. You know, I think, let's do a couple of examples here. Brian Ellison, the 3rd Congressional District, he had no problem attacking Justin Amash, but I think the problem was is he didn't do enough to establish who he was as a person and as a candidate, especially considering most of that congressional district didn't know who he was. And, you can slam Justin Amash all you'd like, but unless you give them a good reason to vote for you, they're still not going to vote for you. So he lost. Now, let's take Wayne Schmidt, for example, up in the 37th State Senate District there. He was able to use him and his folks who were supporting him were able to use some negative advertising on Greg McMaster, who was presumably the conservative and Tea Party candidate in that race, and was able to erase a 20-point lead and end up beating Greg McMaster very handedly. You know, in that case, they waited until, about 4 or 3 weeks before the primary election to unleash just a bevy of real personal negative campaigning on him, and they were able to flip the results. So it really kind of depends, I think, how you use it, who you use it with, and what the negative stuff is.
Kyle Malin joins us here from MERS News. Kyle, looking towards November, Governor Snyder, incumbent, Mark Schauer, the challenger. What is Mark Schauer? I mean, there's a small margin right now, and I don't know which way. I mean, you can't predict which way it's going to go. What is Schauer going to have to do to maybe unseat Snyder?
Well, I know this sounds really simple probably to your listeners, but it's not. And what he's got to do is he's got to get Democrats to vote in a gubernatorial election, and that is a hard thing to do. In the last, I'd say probably 20 years or so, the last time the Democrats were able really to get their voters out like they do in a presidential year was 2006, when Jennifer Granholm beat Dick DeVos. Otherwise, Democrats don't usually vote in gubernatorial primaries in the same volume they do in presidential elections, and that's why Michigan tends to go with the Democrat for president, but Republican for governor. So the Democrats and Mark Schauer and Gary Peters have to find ways to get people excited, Democrats excited about this election, and get them to vote. Because if they don't do that, Snyder will win, and Terry Land could win as well.
All right. What do you think Terry Land's chances are for the position she's after right now?
I would put her at about 40% right now, Gary Peters at 60%. The polls are showing Peters is up. It looks like this Obamacare issue has kind of run its course. People have already decided what they're going to do with that issue, and they've made up their mind if they're going to vote on that or not. And there's not any undecideds left. So Terry Land has really got to find something new that she can hit Gary Peters on that sticks. You know, the stuff about outsourcing pencils when he was a lottery commissioner to China.
No.
You know, I don't know if that's going to work. She's got to find something.